Good evening. With a look at your latest local news, I'm Jevy Ebanks. Police have charged a 32-year-old Bodentown man with possessing an unlicensed firearm, ammunition, and controlled drugs following an incident last Thursday night. Officers on patrol in the Bronze Road area of Georgetown shortly after 10 p.m. on the 4th of June saw a man who matched the description of a suspect wanted in connection with drug offenses. After confirming his identity, they approached him. He became boisterous and was detained. During the encounter, officers attempted to search a bag found nearby. The man became aggressive and attempted to escape, prompting officers to use a taser. Once subdued, the bag was searched, revealing suspected ganja and drug utensils. He was arrested and taken into custody. A further search of the premises and the bag he had been carrying uncovered a firearm and a spent shell casing. He was formally charged and appeared in court today, where he's been remanded into custody. He's scheduled to return to court on Friday, the 12th of June. A 66-year-old employee of a local medical services company has been charged with impersonating a doctor and drug offenses following an investigation by the Royal Cayman Islands Police Service. Radio Cayman's Elizabeth Charles reports.
According to police, the investigation began in December 2025 after reports that the man allegedly purchased prescription medication, including controlled drugs, on multiple occasions while falsely representing himself as a medical doctor licensed to practice in the Cayman Islands. The allegations relate to his conduct while employed by a medical services company, though police have not named the firm. Following inquiries by the RCIPS, the man was arrested. Officers also carried out a search of a vehicle that was confirmed to be driven by the suspect and say they recovered documents relevant to the investigation. Those materials now form part of the case file prepared for prosecutors. Police say the man has since been formally charged with three offenses: impersonating a doctor or licentiate of medicine, attempting to buy or otherwise deal in controlled drugs, and buying or otherwise dealing in controlled drugs. He's scheduled to appear in court on Tuesday, June 9th. The RCIPS has not released further details pending the court proceedings. More information is expected to emerge as the case progresses through the courts. Elizabeth Charles, Radio Cayman News.
A grand court jury has acquitted Joseph Llewellyn of rape. He'd been accused of having non-consensual sex with a woman who, prosecutor said, was asleep in his home at the time. Llewellyn denied the allegation, describing the woman as a friend with benefits. He also faced charges of unlawful confinement and assault, causing actual bodily harm. The court heard that the woman frequently stayed at his home, shared a bed with him, and sometimes brought her children. Llewellyn, who is also a parent, would help care for her children and do household chores for her, including laundry. After hearing evidence, including Llewellyn's own testimony, the jury of five women and two men found that the Crown had not met the burden of proof. His bail conditions were lifted and he was released. Justice the Honorable Emma Peters oversaw the case. In other local news, the Premier, the Honorable Andre Ebanks, is traveling to Washington, D.C. and Chicago this week to continue the Cayman Islands' engagement with influential U.S. government and financial services stakeholders. The visit aims to reinforce Cayman's global reputation and promote its financial service offerings in key international markets. His Washington schedule includes meetings with senior U.S. Treasury officials, members of Congress, congressional staff, and representatives from major industry organizations. Discussions will cover international tax matters, financial regulations, capital markets, private investments, and the broader economic relationship between the U.S. and the Cayman Islands. The Premier will then travel to Chicago for engagements with government, industry, and professional service leaders. Events include a Cayman Finance briefing and panel, meeting with major firms, and discussions on insurance, investment funds, and Cayman's role as a leading international financial center. During the Premier's absence from the 18th to the 13th of June, the Honorable Gary Rutte will serve as Acting Premier, Minister the Honorable Jay Ebanks as Acting Deputy Premier, and Minister the Honorable Michael Miles acting as Minister for Financial Services and Commerce. Several weeks' worth of meeting minutes have been published by the Development Control Board, the body that oversees construction projects in the Sister Islands. Radio Cayman's Carsley Fuller reports.
At their February 23rd meeting, the DCB approved an application from the Health Services Authority for a chemotherapy and dialysis outpatient clinic on Dennis Foster Road in Cayman Brac, next to Faith Hospital. Then at their March 9th meeting, they approved Cayman Development Group's application for a 54-lot subdivision at Sam McCoy's Drive in Little Cayman. Back in 2025, the Planning Appeals Tribunal remitted that application to the Development Control Board for rehearing after a previous approval. The application site consists of predominantly primary shrubland and dry forest. In its decision, the DCB said it acknowledged the Department of Environment's comments regarding the potential for the proposed road infrastructure to, quote, facilitate the introduction or spread of invasive species, but added, in the absence of site-specific evidence demonstrating a likely and significant risk, quote, the suggested risk must be treated as a theoretical consideration. Finally, at their April 20th meeting, they approved an application for the partial clearing of a parcel on Guy Banks Road in Little Cayman, with the condition that no land clearing take place between May 1st and September 30th without the consent of the DOE. This will avoid crushing or causing harm to Sister Island's rock iguanas and their nests. Reporting for Radio Cayman News, I'm Carsley Fuller.
Thank you, Carsley. You can find full minutes online at planning.ky. You're listening to Radio Cayman's Evening News. Hazard Management Cayman Islands is warning that preparedness must become a, quote, way of life as the 2026 Atlantic hurricane season gets underway. Hazard Management Cayman Islands Director Danny Coleman says the region's experience with Hurricane Melissa last October is a reminder of how quickly conditions can change and why Cayman needs to turn concern into action.
Last October, Hurricane Melissa reminded us how quickly everything can change. For days, Cayman sat in the cone of uncertainty. We were really fortunate. The track shifted, and unfortunately for Jamaica, they took the full force of the catastrophic Cat 5 storm. 45 lives were lost, and more than 626 people were severely affected. Entire communities were changed in less than 24 hours. That moment must stay with us. Not as relief, but as resolve.
Coleman says this year's campaign urges residents to build readiness into everyday life, not just during hurricane bulletins or storm watches.
Readiness is not a once-a-year task. It is a habit, a mindset, a choice we make every single day.
She is calling on families to act now by reviewing their emergency plans, deciding where they will go and how they will communicate and who is responsible for what. She also urges residents to keep passports, insurance policies, medical records, and other key documents current, accessible, and backed up digitally where possible.
Readiness is not a once-a-year task. It is a habit, a mindset, a choice we make every single day.
Coleman says preparedness is a shared responsibility and asks people to look beyond their own front doors to help neighbors who may need help, including seniors living alone or families facing their first hurricane season. Residents are encouraged to download the NENS app for verified alerts and real-time guidance from Hazard Management, and to visit caymanprepared.ky for checklists and resources. Central Caribbean Marine Institute is rolling out a new awards program to highlight Cayman companies leading on ocean sustainability. CCMI's Kate Holden says the awards are being named after Doug Allen, OBE, a renowned ocean filmmaker.
Doug was a valued ambassador for CCMI and a powerful voice for ocean conservation. He was so passionate about educating and inspiring ocean enthusiasts. He used incredible visual storytelling to encourage communities here and around the world to act for the future of the ocean.
Mr. Allen first collaborated with CCMI as a guest speaker and a photography judge at Festival of the Seas, Coral Reef Horizon in 2024. He returned to Cayman in November 2025, sharing insights on the interconnectedness of Cayman's coral reefs with ecosystems around the world. His talks reached and inspired more than 1,000 students and community members over the course of a week, and he's used his stunning imagery to showcase the importance of Cayman's maritime environment on a global stage.
When working with him, he always went over and above to connect people to the ocean and help CCMI achieve our mission, which to us made him extra special. We also discussed at length the barriers to being more sustainable and how easy it is for us to make small changes that really add up. He was an inspiration. and I hope people take up the challenge to protect our oceans as Doug would have wanted.
Ms. Holden says many local firms are already innovating, and the Doug Allen Ocean Sustainability Award aims to give those efforts more visibility and create clearer examples of what ocean champion businesses should look like. Finally, the Cayman Islands National Museum is inviting students ages 10 to 14 to its Immerse Summer Camp 2026 at Miss Lassie's Mind's Eye in South Sound. The museum says the camp offers hands-on activities, creative workshops, cultural exploration, and field trips celebrating Caymanian heritage and culture. Week 1, Nature Explorers, runs from July 20th to the 24th and focuses on coral reefs, mangroves, wildlife and conservation through games, fieldwork and museum collections. Week 2, Culture and Heritage Adventures, runs from July 27th through the 31st and includes storytelling, interactive workshops and cultural challenges. Camp hours are 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. with drop-off from 8, and campers can attend one or both weeks. The fee is $250 per student per week, including meals, transport, admissions, a cap, and two camp t-shirts, and spaces are limited. That's your latest local news. I'm Jevy Ebanks. Have a good evening.